This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Hello, good morning. I'm Noelle Lim. CapBay is a fintech and peer-to-peer platform to allow institutional and individual investors like you and me to lend money to businesses in Malaysia. CapBay has so far lent out more than 1.2 billion ringgit since its start in 2017. We speak to Ang Sing Siang, the CEO and co-founder, on whether CapBay is a unicorn in making. Thank you for making time for us. Traditional banks have been the mainstay in providing short-term financing to businesses. What are you offering that's different from what these financial institutions can do on their own?
At CapBay, for us, is always about trying to provide a smarter and more inclusive financing to SMEs. So how we do that is by focusing on a type of financing, which is what we call supply chain finance. So traditionally, if a bank were to lend to you, they will look at, other than collateral, they would always look at, you know, what is your financial, what is your balance sheet, how much asset do you have, and then historically, have you been making money? And whereas instead of looking at the financial and historically whether you have been making money, we actually look at the underlying business that you are doing. Like, for example, who are you doing business with? If you supply to big corporates like TM, Petronas, or Tenaga Nasional, then we know that there will be cash flow coming back from there, right? So this is the kind of example of the consideration we take into. So for us, it's all about whether you will be making money and whether you will be able to pay us, rather than historically whether you have been making money. And this therefore makes a big difference for a lot of SMEs and relatively young companies that may not have the track record to show to the banks. I would say about half of our business are still the ones who are more traditional, but a lot of these business are what we call an overgrowing business. So they are growing very fast. They are very ambitious. So we have a lot of mature companies who are also growing very fast and would appreciate a more flexible and fast financing.
So it seems to me you take a very nuanced approach in evaluating the creditworthiness of companies. And I would imagine this can take up a lot of time. So how do you shorten that process? I'm imagining here some very sophisticated financial models that you use.
Yeah. I think other than the... So yes, I'll say it is about taking data from very different sources. So, you know, for example, data from the accounting system, data from the ERP systems. For example, CapBay actually work with some of the larger companies where if we want to basically say that I would like to finance your customers or your suppliers, would you be able to provide your past trading record with this particular company? So those data are the ones that we're actually using to decide whether these companies are creditworthy or not. So you can see that these are the data that is what we call a financial supply chain data and physical supply chain data that is used on top of a normal financial statements analysis.
There's also the use of unstructured data, like maybe social media data as well. Is that something you will harness, like the people that you lend out money to?
Yes, we do, but cannot go into too much of this because actually we do that for our fraud analysis, right? Social media, and then how, even to the point where, you know, where the communication come from, right? All that actually are part of the checklist to determine fraud. But, you know, I would like to kind of probably not go beyond that.
But, you know, even people look at things like even the lifestyle of the founder, of the CEO of the company, like, you know, if he's borrowing money, but yet he appears to be living a lavish lifestyle. Is that something that you would consider as well? I know it's very personal, but is that something you would take into account?
Yeah, we do. I think... Also, to be, because one thing that we realized is that it's very hard to really evaluate this, and it can sometimes get really, really subjective. So instead of thinking about how their lifestyle will actually impact the business, one thing that CapBay do very, very much is we try to ring fence the cash flow. So for example, if you supply to Telekom Malaysia, right? When it comes to collection, and I know that you are able to pay because you got money coming back from Telecom from Malaysia because you are a vendor, try to collect the money at source. So a lot of our financing is done by what we call a notified a ring fence arrangement.
Regulators have to watch and monitor and manage systemic risk. So I understand there might be some restrictions in how much businesses, fintech startups can do. For example, there is a limit of how much money I can transfer using fintech platforms compared to using a bank.
Yeah.
Are there restrictions in terms of deal sizes that you can take on as a P2P platform?
So the P2P platform doesn't allow listed companies to get financing through the P2P platforms. And one thing we realize is that if you look at a lot of ACE listed company, and even nowadays there is a lead market, which actually means that the listed companies are even smaller. It's very common for a company, whether it's on the ACE listed or that, to just want to borrow a few hundred thousand, which is very common range for P2P platforms, right? And given that most of our, so we actually like that because, you know, listed companies are supposedly having better accounting reporting, you know, we can trust the accounts a lot better. I think regulations right now doesn't allow that. I believe that securities commissions have their own reason on why they believe that, you know, this group of companies should obtain their financing from, you know, other sources.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you hope to see in terms of changes in regulations to help you grow further?
I think we as regulators constantly engage with securities commissions to share our opinions. For example, how do we make it easier to allow more informal sectors to borrow from the P2P platforms? So especially in the microfinancing sector, we see that actually there are a lot of borrowers who do not have, like, for example, you know, proper business registration, because they are really like micro merchant, right? It's very common that we realize that a lot of micro merchants, not because they don't want to, I think they just get started. They haven't even get all the business registration done. The gig economy's worker, they are a bit like entrepreneurs, right? They are not really a workers, but how do we actually now include them more? I believe Securities Commissions has been working on that. And I think that's, I think we're kind of like taking baby steps. There's not just from the regulators, but I think in the industry as a whole, that's pretty much why back then we started CatBay as well, to provide not just smarter in financing, but more inclusive financing to all these SMEs.
It seems to me now is a good time to have such a scheme, right? Because the situation is dire. People are struggling to put food on table. So can you just also give us a sense, what's the situation on ground? Are businesses like retail, tourism coming to you, or even restaurants coming to you, needing to borrow money? And how do you assess their credit risk right now?
You're right. I think we definitely see a spike in the application. Number of applications coming to CatBay, right? And then we saw that there were a lot of retail businesses applying, especially the sector that you just mentioned. Unfortunately, I think at this moment, we don't see ourselves having the... We only lend when we believe that we are able to keep our investors' money. I know that the risk return is able to make sense. Whether it's true because of the nature of the industry, or whether, for example, if we have a very special way of structuring it to reinvest our investors. So to be honest, we haven't been lending much to these particular sectors. Application rate went up significantly over the past, I'll say, 18 months. Number of applications, but the approval rate has dropped significantly as well, because we really have to be a lot careful in deciding who to lend to. But of course, that's not to say that we are, you know, pulling back the funds during this period when everyone needs it. In fact, during this period, we have, we are at like 50% growth every quarter right now, and trying to, in a way, push out as much financing to the businesses as possible during this period.
For the company as a whole, since you started in 2017, providing supply chain financing as a whole, including P2P, is about 1.2 billion ringgit. And yes, it's quite impressive that you have managed to also maintain a very, very low default rate. But as you continue to grow, right, the default rate may actually increase past a certain point. So how do you think you would adjust to this?
we don't think that the risk profile will significantly change for our target markets, because we are still serving only a small part of our target markets. But on the other hand, in order to grow this, we also try to come up with a lot of new products, so which are, we believe, are safer as well. So for example, last year, we also announced the acquisition of 49% stakes in Kenanga Capital Islamic from the Kenanga Investment Bank Berhad. We are actually talking about lending to a vendors where the money will be paid directly from the government of Malaysia. Right, I think right now CapBay is the only P2P platforms that offer that. Their kind of business is very, very safe. This is a company that we invest in, has provided more than 700 million worth of financing. And then we had minimal default rate, negligible.
This morning, I'm speaking to Ang Sing Sian, CEO and co-founder of CapBay. Shortly, we'll be discussing CapBay's plans to become a unicorn in this region.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Ang Sing Sian, co-founder and CEO of CapBay, joins us today. What other acquisitions might you be looking at that will help you complete the jigsaw puzzle in becoming a leading P2P platform in this region?
Yeah, I think right now we are actually looking at something more regional. So one of the key things that we will be looking at is actually about financing cross-border trades. So some of the acquisition that we potentially will be looking at would be certain players in different countries within Southeast Asia. In fact, we just announced was actually an MOU signing with SealNet, which is a subsidiary of DNEX Group, who actually operate a regional single windows. And then with that, the same collaboration involved China Construction Bank as well, and also witnessed by Exim Bank Malaysia. So the whole idea is actually about making sure that CapBay is there to provide and promote, provide the technology to provide and promote inter-ASEAN trade financing, and also to further help with the promoting the financing for Malaysian and China trades.
You're not necessarily looking for another P2P platform, right? What you're really looking for is another licensed money lender or somebody with a license to be able to do this trade financing.
I think there are a few things that we're looking at. So when it comes to acquisition, one thing that you pointed out is the regulatory infrastructure. That's something that we consider. The second thing that we consider is actually the ecosystem. So for example, the ecosystem, more importantly, the data, right? For example, if we are able to work with a certain e-procurement company or a B2B trading network, these are the ones that we have a lot of buyer and seller on that. So one thing that we actually have been able to do, we believe that do well and do very much, is actually through partnership with different ecosystem. So some of the partnership that was announced, I think earlier on, involving MyTuka, who is a subsidiary of Caro, right, to provide financing to all the dealers on the platform.
Grab, they started in Malaysia, eventually they moved to Singapore, at least they moved the head office for more visibility, easier to raise money. And also, I think maybe to some extent there could have been some shareholder persuasion there.
Yeah.
So I noticed that your Series A investor is KK Fund, a Singapore VC, and they also came back in for another round, right? And given that, you know, the nature of your business is really about short-term financing, about trade, so I would imagine then a presence in Singapore would be quite key, right? Because Singapore is one of the busiest ports in the world. You know, it is a real trading nation, right? I mean, Malaysia is, but, you know, Singapore is where so much money goes through. Is there a strong compulsion to eventually you might have to move to Singapore to raise the kind of money you need to have the kind of brand visibility?
Potentially. I mean, it's very hard, always hard to say something, whether it's possible or not possible, but then impossible. At least for now, we have been seeing a lot of demand from investors to invest in CapBay. So I think access to financing so far hasn't been a big issue for us, fortunately. Founders have been talking about this before, and we always feel like, you know, it's good to be a Malaysian company. The news about Custom and iCar, the merged M&A of the two companies, and to create the first unicorn in Malaysia. And these companies have proven that they are able to also grow well in the rest of the countries, attract the right financing as well. And of course, I think after the Grab scenario, some of the issues back then were brought up, and then we could see that a lot of the efforts from the governments were on that. For example, I think a lot of help from NDEC, Cradle, who actually funded, who provided some grant back then to CatBay as well, and Magic, and even Malaysian Debt Ventures.
That's the conundrum, right? So many agencies want to get involved in lending money or telling entrepreneurs what to do. Giving money is one thing. But is there something else that we are not doing, and you know why we are not the fintech hub in Southeast Asia, for example?
Singapore is indeed at a more kind of advanced stage with a lot more investors. There is no silver bullet. I think there needs to be a lot of lead bullets to fix this. One thing I realized in all our conversation, Malaysian companies were always told that, you know, you need to be profitable, cash flow positive, you know, from as early as possible. Everyone in the world talk about that, right? You know, and they say that, you know, the culture of burning investors' money is going to go away. But I think when we talk to different investors, this is extremely obvious among the Malaysian ecosystem, where everyone is constantly talking about, you know, how you must be cash flow positive from the as early as possible. So that is the kind of, so that the culture also shaped different type of risk taking. I wouldn't say that what is right, which one is right or wrong, right? It really depends on the ecosystem, the scenario. Like for example, CatBay, we have been trying to be as cash flow positive as possible. In fact, just until recent months, we started to turn cash flow positive as well. So which allow us to start thinking maybe we are able to actually grow to different countries without having to, you know, just to move to Singapore so that we can have access to more capital.
Would you say CatBay is a unicorn in making?
That's definitely the ambition. I think a lot of the team members are hoping for that to happen. We set up some goals and plans, and then and these will involve not just about us growing, but through a lot of M&A. Because you know, if you look at the founders' background, all of us came from private equity, investment banking for tech companies. We came from transaction advisory. So yeah, we would say that we are half businessmen, but also half new guys. You know, from a small 2-3 people company, we were hoping to be the one who finance, who be the one who power ASEAN intra-regional trade, and to be the one who help the ASEAN countries to do more exports.
Conventional view is that academically smart people don't necessarily make the best entrepreneurs, but we do know there are some really good outstanding examples in the US to show that does not hold true. And I know you have a first class degree from Imperial College and also a master's from Oxford University. What has been your transition in becoming an entrepreneur?
For me, I always see myself more like an entrepreneur, or so I hope. At least I see that for myself, because, you know, I was... So since young, I have been following my father, who was a fisherman turned fish trader. And then I have been helping out with the business. And in fact, from there, that's where I really learned about supply chain finance. And that inspired me to do more supply chain, to enable supply chain finance, right? So instead of saying a transition, I would say it's more like the academics helped me in being able to do a lot more things. For example, there are certain things in CatBay that can get quite technical, like you know, some of the credit modelings, some of the technology solutions, right? Algorithms. And I think it's really nice to be able to just have that conversation with the technology teams and really know that, you know, really be able to understand from the first principle, whatever they are doing actually meets the requirement of the company. So I think that's the conversation that I may not be able to have, or at least at that detailed level, if there wasn't all these different degrees that actually help.
How do you get from coming from a fisherman's family to going to Imperial in London?
Oh, I've been very lucky, right? I mean, that's why, yeah, I think it's just with a lot of help from, you know, good teachers, good scholarships from government as well. And just a lot of luck, I would say. Yeah, I wouldn't say that it's definitely not a rag to riches story because, you know, first of all, I think there are still a lot more for me to achieve. And then I would say that I just probably the lucky guy, you know, fortunate enough to be able to get all the different scholarship at the right time. Yeah, a lot of help from the environment as well.
Well, I'm sure you made your own luck. A pleasure speaking with you and thanks so much. That was Ang Sing Sian, co-founder and CEO of CapBay. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.